Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We are currently in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It is a chapter in which King Solomon, the author of this book, the human author — we understand, of course, that God the Holy Spirit is the divine author, and that there is a mysterious melting together of the human and the divine in the production of the entire Bible. And though holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, we are told by Peter in the New Testament, nevertheless, it's not apparent that they were always conscious of the Holy Spirit's enabling and guarding activity in their lives. In some cases, it's apparent that they were. In their other cases, it appears that they were not. But it makes no difference, because God is superintending this whole thing. And so, in effect, the Holy Spirit is guiding human authors in what they think, and is guarding what they write so that they don't write anything that is incorrect. They don't write anything that is not perfect, because it is the Word of God, and God is perfect, and He makes no mistakes. And so, even though these are fallible men who did make mistakes in their lives, no question about it, they were human beings just like you and me, and I don't need to tell you that King Solomon made a lot of mistakes. In fact, he sinned rather grievously in a number of ways, but what he wrote that was included in the Bible was superintended and guarded in such a way by the Holy Spirit of God that it turns out to be one and the same, at the same time, the Word of man and the Word of God. That is the nature of the Bible. That, in a nutshell, is the doctrine of inspiration, and that is what we are dealing with in the book of Ecclesiastes, as we are dealing with it in all 66 books of the Bible. I pause now to welcome you to this Wednesday, September 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and to remind you that we depend upon listener contributions in order to continue this ministry on this station. Well, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. King Solomon is evaluating six different work situations. He has earlier in the book told us that work, labor, is one of those areas that people sometimes look to find fulfillment in life. And like every other avenue where people seek fulfillment in life, it cannot of itself produce such fulfillment. Only when God is our first priority do any of these other things add any richness, any fulfillment to life. And that's just as true about work as it is about pleasure. Some people pursue fulfillment in pleasure, they come up short. Some people pursue fulfillment in work, and they too come up short, unless they are working for God, working to please Him, working to honor Him, working in such a way that He is the reason why they work. He is the ultimate supervisor of their work and the one that they are endeavoring to please. And when work is carried out that way, it does add a rich dimension to our life here upon the earth. So Solomon has already dealt with the area of work, but now he comes back in chapter 4 and takes up six different work conditions and talks about each one of them and how they fit into this whole picture. And in some cases, they are conditions that, frankly, aren't able to contribute much of anything in the way of fulfillment in life, and others that do if they are handled in the right way. And we have already examined the whole list of six, and now we have gone back and we have re-examined the first three, and in each case we have added some biblical wisdom to address each of these work situations. And I will review quickly the ones that we have covered, and then we'll move on to number 4. But first of all, there is working without prospect or without hope, like a slave does. And what should we say to a person like that? And that is just to remind them that this life is not the end. This life is not all there is. When there's no hope in your work, life can seem pretty hopeless. But if you are trusting Christ, this life is just the beginning. And it is someday going to be very insignificant. So you can tell them that. Number 2, those who work to achieve status. That was verse 4. What do you tell them? You tell them that you better learn to labor to please God, not to impress others, not to improve your status in life, but to please God. Well, number 3, what about those who refuse to work? That's verse 5. And the admonition there is, number 1, to those who are lazy, cut it out. Resist the temptation to idleness, because the Bible calls that a sin and tells you that God intends for us to work. But number 2, for others who know the people who are refusing to work, do not encourage or support sloth in others. You're not doing them a favor when you do so. All you're doing is enabling them to continue sinning. How do you help them doing that? But now we move to number 4. And this is the condition of diligent work in moderation. Verse 6, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. That's a word picture of someone, on the one hand, whose life is work. That's their whole life. They are so devoted to work that their whole life consists of work, described here as having two hands full, that is, two hands full of work. And Solomon describes that as grasping for the wind. You think you are gaining something substantial by devoting your entire life to your work. That's where you get your identity. That's where you get your purpose for living. But in the end, it turns out to be just so much grasping after wind, there's really nothing there. Or, on the other hand, there are those who maintain work in proper balance. And that's what he says when he says, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. If the person who is devoting his entire life to work is described as a person with both hands full, that is, both hands full of work, then the person who is described as having only one hand full, but with quietness, that is, with other areas of life that are attended to appropriately, then you're describing someone who is balancing their work with other elements of life. So that's not easy to achieve. But it's important to keep working at it, to keep trying to achieve that proper God-honoring balance. You don't want to be the slothful person who is trying to shirk work, but you don't want to be the workaholic whose life is entirely wrapped up in his work so that he neglects other areas of life. So what do you say in regard to this category, this area of diligent work and moderation? Well, you would tell people, work hard, but don't be greedy. Sometimes those whose entire life is given to their work are doing so because of covetousness, because of greed, because of materialism. Not always. Sometimes people find fulfillment in their work not because of financial gain necessarily, but because that's where their identity is found. That's where their self-worth is found. But you do tell people like this, remember, work hard, but don't be greedy. Don't be slothful. Work hard. Don't be a shirker. Don't be idle. Don't be always looking for a way to get out of work. Work hard. When you're supposed to be working, work hard. Be diligent in your work, but balance work with other elements of life. And that's the only way that work is going to become fulfilling. And what are some of the other elements of life that need to be balanced with our work? Well, I'll take them in ascending order, from least important to most. But to start with, recreation and rest are an important part of life. I remember in the early years of my ministry, I was definitely a workaholic. Some people think I still am, but I know not nearly as I was then. In those early years, I was definitely a workaholic. And in my concept of it, it was because, well, this is different from other work. This is the Lord's work. You give yourself to it 100%. Well, in one sense, you do. You give yourself to it 100%, but that doesn't mean that you never factor into your schedule time for recreation and rest. And I had to learn that the hard way. And some ministers who don't learn that soon enough experience what is sometimes called burnout, because they don't learn to balance their work with an appropriate amount of recreation and rest. Now, on the other hand, you've got those who view the ministry as something that doesn't demand a great deal of dedication, and they factor in a whole lot more recreation and rest than is really appropriate. But that's another story for another day. But I'm talking about those who don't factor it in at all. And just keep in mind, study the life of Christ and the apostles who were with Christ and he was training. And notice in the Gospels that there are a number of occasions where Jesus took them apart, took them away from their work, took them away from the crowds in order to have a time of rest and recuperation. That's important. That's part of our life. So you've got to balance work with other elements of life, including a modest amount of recreation and rest. What else do you balance with your work? Well, you must balance family and church and even civic responsibilities. If you work so hard you can't give attention to your family, that's a grave error. If you work so hard that you really can't be involved in your church, if you're a Christian, that's a grave error. If you work so hard that you can't be involved in your community, in your society, you can't have any civic part of your life, then that's a grave error. You are working too hard for all of these things. But, and here's the most important one of all, I'm taking these in ascending order. If your work is crowding out a healthy personal relationship with the Lord, then you're working too much. Now, I recognize that work can be very demanding, but if it's so demanding that you cannot carve out in your schedule time to pray, you cannot carve out in your schedule time to read God's Word, you cannot carve out in your schedule time to worship God privately as well as corporate worship with the saints of God, if you can't work that into your schedule because you are working so hard, then the truth is you're working too hard or working too much. You've got two hands full of work when you need one hand full of work and the other hand balanced with these other elements of life. May God teach us these important truths. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.